Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do want to face the issues. How many times have you considered an issue and you would go to different ones, and each one that you would discuss the issue with, you would get a little different insight, a little different answer, a different twist, if you will, or vantage point on the issue that you're dealing with? Well, so often in society, we go to society for answers. We seek the media for answers. We look at politicians for answers. We go to so-called counselors for answers, dealing with issues, whether they be what the world calls political, social, economic, or biblical or spiritual issues. We need to go to the source book that is truth, and that is the Word of God. Jesus himself said of the Scripture, "Thy Word is truth." And Jesus also said, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, as we deal with the truth of issues today, the only place to go for an answer, for wisdom, and for insight and direction is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word called the Bible, God's Word. May I encourage you to seek answers from God through His Word. You see, as we study the Bible is God in print. It is God's communication to us. It is God's roadmap for our life and living. It is God's instruction for us day by day. There is not a problem. There is not a difficulty. There is not an issue. There is not a question that faces society today that God's Word does not have an insight, direction, wisdom, and answers. We need to seek God first, knowing Him, and a real relationship to Him through Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then the Holy Spirit of God will give us the illumination as we study the Word and we seek to find answers. Now, that's not something that you do overnight. That's not something that you can do in a lifetime. It is striving for that ultimate goal of knowing Him better through His Word. I've said many times down through the past 50-plus years that a person can study the Word of God cover to cover, read the Scripture cover to cover for 200 lifetimes, not 200 years, 200 lifetimes, and never scratch the surface on the full depth of what God has for us in His Word. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with a very critical time in society today. This election cycle is the most important election cycle, I believe, in the history of the United States of America. I believe that your decision to vote or not to vote could make a determination as to the direction of America for the next 50 years. I've heard a lot of people recently say, well, you know, I don't like either candidate, so I just won't vote. That's a cop-out. That's simply a crock. It has no value. If you say that you're saved, if you have been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you need to vote. That's our responsibility as citizens. That's our responsibility as we look at and understand the fullness of the Scripture in relationship to the what God has created, the institutions of the home, of the church, and of government. Those are three institutions created by God. And if that is true, and it is, then if we are to be salt and light as Christians, and we are, it's a command and not an option, then we need to get out in the society in which we live and impact society with the truth of the Word of God. And may I just tuck in a little Youngblood fact here, a little footnote to what I'm saying? And I won't even have to call it a party name. But if you're saved, my challenge to you, how can you vote for a candidate or for an organization or for a particular party that stands for murder by way of abortion? How can you vote for that candidate? How can you vote for a candidate that believes that open bathrooms are society's ideal? How can you do that? By the way, you can join in this discussion. I'm making an introductory elongation of introduction for me to get to the point where we're going today. You can join in this discussion by calling 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. If you want to join in, feel free to ask your question, join in the dialogue, discuss the issues that we're discussing, or any other relevant issue that you would like to ask a question or discuss. This is a listener participation program. Therefore, it's not just for me to have a monologue, but for us to have a dialogue. Those issues that you're confronted with, that you want an answer on, or that you'd like clarification on what we're discussing today. But how can you vote for a candidate that the party stands for murder by way of abortion? How can you vote for a candidate that the party stands for open bathroom laws and regulations? How can you stand for a party that believes that sodomite marriages are found in the Constitution, and therefore it is a right that we as moral, ethical believers ought to embrace, support, and give our approval on? How can you vote for a candidate that takes the position that Islam is peaceful when Islam is on a fast track to subdue the entire globe? And that's been proven through the 1500 years of Islam. That's the goal of bringing the world into submission to Allah and Muhammad. Islam is the goal. And yet we see Christians being beheaded, Christians being placed in cages and burned to death. We're seeing Christians being put in cages and drowned, Christians being beheaded across the world, and now coming to the shores of America. We have a pope that's lost his mind that says that Islam is peaceful, and we ought not to say that we're at war with Islam. We have a president that's lost his mind that I believe is a closet Sunni Muslim, and as a result of that, he's pushing the Islamic agenda. He is I believe, will go down in history as the most destructive, divisive, demonic president in the history of the United States of America. We need to recognize the danger in the era in which we live. The Bible is very clear when it gives us God's election guide. God's election guide points out how we're to seek out an individual for office that we vote for, whether it is on a national level, local level, or state level. You can call and join in this discussion at 401-1413. 401-1413. We'll be interviewing candidates at different levels for state and national office and for local office in the next several days. Our focus will be on letting the candidates speak, letting you call in and ask the candidates questions. My primary concern when I talk with a candidate is, how do you stand on moral, ethical issues? How do you stand on central biblicist issues? I'm not talking about asking them necessarily, are you saved? I'm not asking them, do you walk on water and wear a halo? But how do you stand on several of those issues, including but not limited to the Constitution of the United States of America? I'm a constitutionalist. And if you're going to do anything, introduce any law that's contrary to the Constitution, then I'm not for you. I have no interest in you. If you're going to stand with an open bathroom edict handed down from Washington, I cannot recommend you. I cannot in any fashion see where a Christian ought to vote for any school board member, any state leader, any local leader, or national leader that's going to take a position that our boys and girls need to go to school rather than being protected. They are subjected to the pedophiles, the Sodomites, the transvestites, and every other wicked, evil, immoral, ungodly style, sexual predator that you could find, where they must go to the bathrooms, the locker rooms, the showers, and be introduced to the potential of being molested or the innocence destroyed as a result of that. God's Word gives us an election guide. Before we get to that election guide, let me talk about some of the things that's been in the news cycle for the past 24 hours. You've heard of the man named Kahn, K-A-H-N. That's his last name. So Mr. Kahn feels that Donald Trump is a bad man. You've heard that. It was at the Democratic National Convention. And he stood there with the little pocket constitution in his hand, waving that, and talked about that Donald Trump is not worthy of the office of president. He says that he says that because Donald Trump says Islam is dangerous. Just who is Karzai Khan? He is a Clinton DNC plant. He is an attorney who represents illegal Islamic aliens coming into America. He's published papers supporting the supremacy of Islamic law. That is Sharia law, Quranic law. He says that the Quranic law and Sharia law is over man-made law. And when he uses the term man-made law, that's his words, that's his statement, Khan's statement. That literally means Western law, including the very Constitution itself, the very document that he held in his hands on the DNC floor. And even now, while on CNN News yesterday, the Communist Network News, some call it the Clinton Network News, both are synonymous. Howard A. was holding out his pocket U.S. Constitution. Kahn is a very heavy contributor, by the way, to the Clinton Foundation. Listen, we need to understand the approach that the Clinton News Network and the media that is complicit with the communist socialist agenda, the media is complicit with that, and as a result of that, they're holding this man's hands up. Khan believes that human rights for Islam includes the right to kill and to mutilate those who violate Islamic law, even the right of a man to beat his wife if she does not please him. Now listen, that's not my words. Do the research. Find out what Khan really believes, and yet he's standing there holding the Constitution, shaking it in the face of the world, and saying that Donald J. Trump does not know his Constitution. What Khan is saying, when he says that, by the way, he's saying that Trump is against the illegal refugees coming in, that most of them believe in Sharia law, most of them are Islamic, most of them are coming in as part of the Trojan Horse movement to undermine, tear down, and destroy America, and to Islamicize all of America. And because Donald Trump says something verbally against that, then this man, which is an Islamic attorney representing multitudes of hundreds of Islamic refugees that are illegal coming in, and supported by Hillary Clinton and his funds supporting the Clinton Foundation, he's the one that they are touting out now to try to tear down and besmirch the character and the reputation of Donald Trump. Khan believes that human rights are only found in the Sharia law. That is what the Quran says. By the way, I don't mind the world knowing the Quran is an evil, wicked, demonic, unholy book. If someone wonders about that, if you wonder about that declaratory statement that I made, let me just read you a few of the, we'd call them verses in our Bible, but in their book of ideology called the Quran, 3151, Surah 3151, we shall cast terror into the hearts of all those non-Muslims. Surah 2191, and kill non-believers, that's non-Muslims, wherever you find them, kill them, such is the recompense of non-Muslims. Surah 2193, fight until there's no more disbelief in Allah. Surah 298, whoever is an enemy of Allah and his messenger, then verily Allah is an enemy to the non-Muslim. Surah 216, jihad, that is holy fighting in the cause of Allah, is ordained for all Muslims. Surah 385, whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted. Surah 456, those who disbelieve in Islam and Allah, we shall burn them in fire. Surah 489, if they turn back from Islam, take hold of them and kill them wherever you find them. Surah 4:101. The non-Muslims are ever unto you our open enemies. Surah 4:102. Allah has prepared a humiliating torment for all non-Muslims. Surah 8:39. Fight them, all non-Muslims, until there's no more disbelief in Islam. Surah 8:55. The worst moving living creature before Allah are those who are non-Muslims. Surah 9:29. Fight against those who believe not in Allah and all the Jews and the Christians who acknowledge not the religion of Islam. Now I could go on and on and on. I'm reading that directly from the Noble Quran. The Noble Quran is the one that is venerated and viewed as the purest form of Islam by all of the Islamic scholars. And the Islamic scholars even confirm the fact in the Noble Quran that jihad is holy war against all non-Muslims. So that's the thing that this man Khan believes. That is his position. That is his theological, ideological position. Back in 1983, for example, Khan wrote an academic paper titled "The Jurist Classification of Islamic Law," end quote. While he was studying at Saudi University, Khan explains that Sharia law is absolute authority and it should be over the globe. Khan admires and quotes the notorious Muslim Brotherhood radicals. So, is Donald Trump correct in his analysis of Khan? You bet he is. You bet he is. I say to Donald Trump and any of his ardent followers, I say to Donald Trump and any of those that are the movers and shakers in the Republican Party, get over it. If you're concerned about whether or not somebody in the good old boys club that was going to continue to uphold your hands and your graft and your political insider work, and Trump doesn't meet that qualification in your book, get over it. May I remind us, the destiny of America is at stake. We can no longer sit back and afford to listen to the gobbledygook that's being given us by the Clinton socialist communist agenda today. We need a president willing to stand up and say that Islam is wicked, it's evil, it's radical, it's terrorist, including Khan himself. By the way, his Facebook account, his website have been washed of most of the things that he believes in. In fact, his designation and title as an attorney has been removed. He is wanting now to hide under the cloak of waving that Constitution in the face of the American public and saying that Donald Trump doesn't know what's in it. I'd be willing to tell you that Donald Trump probably knows more about the Constitution and the legality of it and the rule of law that it stands for than Khan will ever understand, because he is a Muslim, and as a Muslim, it's an impossibility for Karzai Khan to be a true American. Why is that so? Religiously? No, he cannot be, because no other religion is accepted by Allah except the Quran. Spiritually, he cannot be a good American because his allegiance is to the five pillars of Islam and the Quran. Geographically, no, because his allegiance is to Mecca, to which he turns and prays five times a day. Socially, he cannot be a good American because his allegiance to Islam forbids him to make friends with Christians and with Jews. Politically, no, because he must submit to the mullahs, that's the spiritual leaders, who teach annihilation of Israel and the destruction of America, which is the great Satan in Khan's sight and in all other Muslims' eyes, regardless of what they tell you, regardless of the mealy-mouthed, undertowed, underdog sound that they might give when being interviewed. Domestically, Khan and others like him cannot be a true American because he is instructed to marry four women or more, beat them and scourge them as his wife when they disobey him. By the way, that's right out of the Quran, Surah 4:34. Intellectually, he cannot be a true American because he cannot accept the American Constitution since it is based on Judeo-Christian biblical principles, and he believes the Bible, and this is right out of the Quran also, believes the Bible is corrupt. Philosophically, he cannot be a good American because Islam and Muhammad and the Quran does not allow freedom of religion and expression. Democracy and Islam cannot coexist. Every Muslim government is either dictatorial or autocratic completely. Spiritually, he cannot be a good American because when we declare one nation under God, the Christian's God is loving and kind, while Allah is never referred to as a Heavenly Father, nor is he ever called love in the Quran's 99 excellent names given to Allah. May I remind us, it's obvious that it's an impossibility to be a good Muslim and a good American because the truth is not sought in the Quran as we do in America, especially when looking at constitutional things and looking at it from a biblical standpoint. May I remind us, America is in a free fall. America stands on the very threshold of being destroyed as a constitutional republic, ethically, morally, spiritually, politically, societally, publicly, politically, all other forms. We stand on the very threshold of being destroyed. The open bathroom edict from the White House. The sodomite marriage from the extreme courts. I didn't say Supreme Court. Extreme courts. The laws regarding no ID to vote being these laws in Texas and other states where ID requirements. Now the appeals courts are ruling that is being illegal just 30 days, 90 days before the final election cycle in America. Christians are being burned and crucified, drowned, beheaded, and the media and the White House are just simply silent. I simply say, God help us as a nation. We must have new leadership in Washington. We must have leadership that's willing to stand for truth and the rule of law and the Constitution. Khan has, as I said a moment ago, wiped his website clean of formerly his background and his connectivity with Saudi Arabia and the Muslim Brotherhood and as being an attorney. Also, it revealed his firm ties with Saudi Arabia, his ties with the Clinton Foundation, and the illegal Muslim immigration scheme that he's been paid handsomely for as the representative and as an attorney for them. But what does God say? God's word tells us in Exodus chapter 18, by the way, the unit of thought is beginning with verse 13 through 27. Moses was sitting at the gates of the city every day from what you and I'd call daylight till sundown. He was trying to resolve the problems and deal with the issues of the people. His father-in-law said, what you're doing is not right. It's going to wear you out and be bad for the people. You need to find men that are qualified to carry out the task that you're doing. That is, God's ideal, God's blueprint, God's plan for what I would call an election guide. And the summary of that unit of thought is found in verse 21. And I'll read it for us, and we'll look at it for a few moments in relationship to how do you and I apply what we know, what we're seeing in this election cycle. What ought we to do? Francis Schaeffer said in his now famous book, How Should We Then Live? If we know these facts, if we know what the Scripture says, if we know what's taking place, if we've been enlightened about the circumstances and the situation, how should we then live? Verse 21 of chapter 18 of Exodus, Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers by the thousands and rulers by hundreds and rulers by fifties and rulers by tens. Literally what the Scripture is saying, God is giving us here his standards for leadership, standards by which political leaders and spiritual leaders are to be chosen. People of faith ought to have no difficulty whatsoever in viewing the candidates and making wise decisions, intellectual decisions, academic decisions, not just impromptu, goosebump, fuzzy feeling decisions, but decisions based on the rudimentary, elemental fundamentals of what God's Word says. First of all, that candidate for office, he must have good capability. Scripture says able men. That's talking about capability and competence. Now, Barack Hussein Obama, with the brazen brashness to stand before a national television camera and say that Donald J. Trump is not qualified to be president because he has no experience. Look who's talking. Obama had no experience whatsoever. Obama was simply a community organizer, a rabble-rouser, one that would go in and threaten corporations and businesses to bow before him and his adulating crowd group. Scattered outside of the front doors on the campuses of organizations across America. That was his capability. But the Scripture says the one that's going to be placed in leadership, able men, that's capability and competence, having the knowledge and the wisdom to carry out the oath of office, the proven capability, qualified to serve, able to do the task that is required. And secondly, he must have godly convictions. The scripture says in that 21st verse of the 18th chapter of Exodus, such as fear God. That word fear means to have awe, to have reverence for. Now, that doesn't mean that that candidate has to be one that's in church 7 days a week. Doesn't mean that he needs to know the King James Bible backwards and forwards and be able to quote John 3:16 in seven languages. It doesn't mean that at all. But has a fear, a reverence, a realization, and a recognition that God is the creator, controller of the universe. A reverence for God and a respect for God. And may I suggest that as you look at the background and the history of Hillary Rodham Clinton, how in the name of God can anybody on the face of God's green earth say that she reverences God and has respect for God and will in any way have respect and reverence for God in the highest office in the nation? He must have good character, the scripture says. Men of truth, this speaks of reputation, known to be honest, not a liar, not one who says what you want to hear, truthful, having integrity. And I believe that out of the candidates that we have had, the 16 or 17 on the Republican Party, I believe that many, if not most of them, were honorable men. But the candidate that we have before us that is the potential for the U.S. presidency is Donald J. Trump. I believe that we could say he has a reputation of honesty and integrity. I believe we could say he has a reputation of reliability, one that can be trusted to carry out what he says he's going to do. And the scripture furthermore says he must have godly control. The scripture says in that 21st verse of the 18th chapter of Exodus, hating covetousness. This speaks of the motive for serving. Is Donald Trump running for office because he wants to make $240,000 a year when he's worth several billion? Contrarywise, Hillary Clinton did about 25 or 30 speeches and brought in $153 million. What is her motive for running for office? Because she wants to continue to market the United States of America. She wants to continue to sell our constitutional republic to every nation around the globe in order to put money in her pocket. It's graft and greed. Hating covetousness, the scripture says, that means not grasping, not greedy, not seeking an office to enrich themselves, not seeking to increase one's wealth from the office that they serve in. In fact, back when our founding fathers set up our federal form of government, it was on the basis that men would leave their farm, leave their carpenter shop, leave their work, leave their home, and go and serve the nation with no remuneration as far as a paycheck in order to save America and develop America and carry out what would be the constitutional requirement and responsibility. No, I'm here to tell us and warn us, encourage us and challenge us. This is the most important election cycle that we'll see in our lifetime. I want you to pray. I want you to participate. I want you to seek God's face and vote that America might be delivered at this final hour. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your participation. Looking forward to meeting you again tomorrow on the air at the same time. And God bless you as we go.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast? 666. and multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.